Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Tonight, Isaiah 58, and I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 6. The Bible says this, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou may bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." Verse 8 says, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." Father, I pray that you'd help us for a few minutes tonight. Give us what we stand in need of in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You've probably heard of a man by the name of Andrew Murray, and he wrote a lot of great things on prayer. He actually wrote a very classic collection of books on prayer. If you've never read it, it would do you great to read it. E.M. Bounds also wrote some great books on prayer. Matter of fact, you can buy all of them in one book. It's about five or six different books that's put into one. But anyway, Andrew Murray wrote with Christ in the School of Prayer, and here's what he said in it. Fasting helps express, deepen, confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain that we seek for the kingdom, that what we seek for the kingdom of God. Hudson Taylor spent 51 years as a missionary in China. In addition to direct missions work and aiding to translate the New Testament into one of the Chinese dialects, he founded China Inland Missions, directly responsible for sending 800 missionaries, starting 300 schools, and leading 18,000 Chinese people to Christ. Hudson Taylor said this, "Fasting is really a divinely appointed means of grace. Perhaps the greatest hindrance to our work is our own imagined strength. And in fasting, we learn what poor, weak creatures we are, dependent on a meal or meat for the little strength which we are so apt to lean upon." Fasting and praying tonight. There's a lot of misunderstanding about fasting tonight. And then there's a lot that's never heard anything on fasting tonight. I think about, and I say it to my shame too, but I think about all the revivals that you go to and all the camp meetings that you go to and different things. You never hear all the youth camps that you go to. You don't hear preaching on fasting today. And one reason is because it's just not practiced much anymore. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I promise you, if you want to see God do great things, you fast and pray and see it. Matter of fact, he said, this kind. What is this kind? It was the faith, the grain of a mustard seed that can move a mountain. He goes on in that context and says this, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and not just praying, but prayer and fasting. Jack Hiles preached a tremendous message on this kind. You ought to look it up and listen to it. But the only way we're going to have this kind, that kind of faith, that way to trust God, it's not just by praying, but it's by fasting and praying. Let me show you a couple things about fasting and praying tonight. Or mainly fasting, we know what praying is. Number one, think about the definition of fasting tonight. Fasting is this, it's a voluntary withdrawing from food and or drink or other fleshly appetite for a specific period of time. And again, note that it says other fleshly appetite for a specific period of time. I'm sure that I'll mention this again before I'm done tonight, but fasting is not always just from food. It can be from other things besides food. And, you know, I've challenged different people in the church and said, hey, let's do this fast together. Let's leave social media for a month. And the time that we would look on that, let's pray and ask God to help us and to clear our minds. So fast, it's not just food. It's other fleshly appetites. The first mention of fasting in the Scripture is Exodus chapter number 34 and verse 28. Moses received the Ten Commandments from God. He engaged in a 40-day fast. You may have noticed that he said, whenever you read that particular passage of Scripture, that he didn't eat nor did he drink. He did not eat. In other words, and I'll say more about this in just a minute, it was an absolute fast. In other words, he didn't eat nothing and he didn't drink nothing for 40 days. He fasted and he prayed. Jesus began his earthly ministry with prayer and fasting in Matthew chapter number 4. A 40-day fast Jesus completed. And, you know, it's interesting to note this, that it was not long after that that Jesus was tempted by Satan. And it's when you are the weakest that Satan will come against you. What did he tempt him with? Whenever you go read that, I'm not going to take time to go through it. He tempted him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But how did Jesus overcome that temptation? It was by the Word of God. And I can't emphasize enough the Word of God. Amen. That's what he reverted to was the Word of God. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter number 6. Let me read you a verse right there. Matthew chapter number 6 in verse number 16. Matthew 6:16 says this. Give me just a second to get there. Matthew 6:16 says this, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrite of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." In other words, he's saying this, their fasting is in vain because they disfigure their face. In other words, they're telling everybody about it and they're complaining about it. But what did Jesus say to the disciples right there in verse 16? "Moreover, if you fast." No, he said, "Moreover, when you fast." It wasn't if you do it, it's when you do it. Jesus was just assuming, if you want to say it that way, that the disciples was going to do it. And can I say this to you tonight? If he said to the disciples, "When thou fast," then it goes to us today too, amen? Through fasting, or though fasting is never really a direct commandment, Jesus assumed that the disciples would want to in order to see great things happen. But it's not something a Christian has to do, but can I say this? It's something that we choose to do. And why do we choose to do it? Because this kind will never come but by prayer and fasting. You'll never experience the touch of God on your life and the move of God in your life to the fullest of its extent. I believe this in all of my heart, till you learn to fast and pray. Not just pray, but you learn to fast and pray. So we think about the definition of it. Whenever we look at the definition and go on to think about it in the Bible, you'll find that in Judges there was a one-day fast. There was a one-day fast. And I say this a lot. That's a great place to start, is a one-day fast. Then you'll find that there was a three-day fast. Paul did this right after he got saved. Then there's several examples in the Bible of a 40-day fast. I made reference to Brother Mike Van Horn. I traveled with him for 5 years with Rock of Ages. We practically just about lived together for 5 years. And Brother Mike did do an absolute 40-day fast. I was with him during that time. I remember we was in Livingston, Louisiana on the 41st day when he ate just a handful of a baked potato for the first time. And I remember this ain't funny, but but it kind of is funny. My daddy was talking about, I'm almost positive, it was Carl Lackey. He was talking about done an absolute 40-day fast. And afterwards, he went to Kentucky Fried Chicken and got a bucket of chicken and ate the whole thing and ended up sick as a dog. But watch this. There's that 40-day fast. And I want to say something to you. I'm not telling you you need to go out and do an absolute 40-day fast. You better go talk to your doctor and let him help you. If you feel that's what God wants you to do, you better talk to your doctor and you better make sure it's God telling you to do it. Now, let me take it a step further. There is a lot of times you can do a 40-day partial fast. A 40-day partial fast, let me show you something. There's a partial fast and an absolute fast when we're talking about fasting. A partial fast, this is good if you have, if you're diabetic and have different health issues. In the partial fast, you omit certain foods for a while, but not others, or certain things for a while. A great example of that is Daniel. The Daniel fast, which we invite the church to do it every year, the beginning of the year. But the Daniel fast, he and three Hebrew boys did a partial fast, and at the end were stronger and healthier than those eating what they wanted. Matter of fact, I wrote this down at the bottom a while ago. The Daniel fast, he fasted from flesh to put, or we fast from flesh to put our flesh under subjection to Christ. We fast from bread to prove His bread, the Word of God, in our lives. We fast from sweetness to prove His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, and the sweetness of it in our lives. So you see the Daniel fast, and it's a partial fast. John Wesley was well known for going days on end eating only bread and water. So it wasn't an absolute fast. It was a partial fast. I remember one of the men that helped me understand more about fasting than anybody else was Brother John Dorsey. And I remember we was talking about it one time, and the way that we led to it, there was a little country store up above Northwood that used to sell cold cut sandwiches. Man, they had you go up there and hear me out before you judge me. You got bologna, ham, turkey, cheese, lettuce, and tomato and salt and pepper. And I'm telling you, there wasn't no need to get whole wheat bread and baked potato chips and water. If you was getting that, man, get it all. Get Dr. Pepper with it, amen? I'm telling you something. We were sitting there one day, and I said, man, I'm going up there and getting me one of them sandwiches. And I said, I know you love bologna, man. I said, they cut it thick, and they cut that thick piece of cheese. Anybody hearing the preacher tonight? That thick piece of cheese on it. He said, well, you go get you one, Barker, but I ain't. And I said, well, be that way then. I said, I'm telling you, they the best. You ought to try one. He said, shut up, Barker. I don't want to hear about it. And I looked at him. I said, I'm sorry. You're fasting, aren't you? He said, just from bologna. I said, dude, what? He said, just from bologna. And I said, well, why are you fasting from bologna? He said, because it's one of my favorite things is a bologna sandwich. He was the one that began teaching me about a partial fast. I said, well, how long are you going to fast from bologna? He said, until the Lord tells me I need it again. And I said, all right. And then I asked him, I said, well, John, I said, how often do you fast? And he said, well, Barker, that's what he always called me. He said, well, Barker, he said, there's not hardly a time in my life that I'm not fasting from something. And he said, if we're going to have this kind, we got to fast. And boy, I'll never forget him telling me that. He said, if we're going to have this kind, we've got to fast. That's the only way we're going to have it. So there is that partial fast. He was the one, Brother John was the one that introduced me years ago to the Daniel fast. And we actually done it for 40 days one time and read through our whole Bible in 40 days together. So there is that partial fast. Then there is an absolute fast. And what is an absolute fast? It's an absolute fast. I will say this, if you're going to do an absolute fast more than a day or two, you need to consult a doctor about it, and you need to make sure it's God telling you to do it, all right? So there you go. There's the definition. Now, What's the purpose of fasting? Why do we fast tonight? What is the purpose of it? Well, it's a way to seek God by denying the physical to focus on the spiritual. It's a way to seek God by denying the physical to focus on the spiritual. For this reason, prayer and fasting must always go together. And I want to say this to you. I want to take it even a step further. To me, if I'm really going to be seriously fasting about something, it's not just fasting and praying, but I have a goal of I'm going to read 10 chapters a day, or I'm going to read 20 chapters a day, or I'm going to read the New Testament in 15 days. I have a goal to go with that. Because here's the thing. When you're weak, that's when the devil comes against you. And we pray and ask God to help us, but this is the way we fight Satan today. Are you with me? It's this right here. How did Jesus fight Satan? Matter of fact, the psalmist said it this way, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So the purpose of fasting is to draw closer to the Lord. If you want a spiritual benefit, make sure and take time that you are, if you're fasting from lunch every day, take that time and talk to the Lord. If you're fasting from a partial thing, take that time and talk to the Lord. I want you to go with me to the book of Ezra, chapter number 8. I want to read you a verse right here in Ezra, chapter number 8. And just before the book of Nehemiah. Ezra, chapter number 8. I read through this today, and it spoke to my heart. Why do we fast? And I just say this, I don't fast just to fast. I mean, there is a purpose behind the fasting. Ezra chapter number 8, listen to this, verse number 21. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Havana, or Hava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones, and for all of our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all of them for good that seek Him. But His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us." What was the purpose of it? Go back. I seen this today. Go back to verse 1 or verse 21. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Hava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all of our substance." Boy, I thought about this. Sometimes we pray, and I've got two girls that's about grown and a 13-year-old, and we pray and say, "God, help me to know how to raise my child." But you know what? You know what Ezra said? He said, "We fasted and said, God, would you help us to know?" I'm not quoting it verbatim. "Help us to know how to raise our babies. Help us to know how to raise these young people. Help us to know how to raise them and to train them in the right way." It shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be this way. But probably a lot of kids hear more about God in Sunday school on Sunday morning, in youth church on Sunday morning, and at youth night than they do any other time. And it shouldn't be that way. Mamas and daddies should teach them. I need a good hearty amen right there. But you know what? Us youth workers, because I'm still a youth worker too, and us teachers tonight, you know what we ought to do? Somewhere along the week, every week of our life, somewhere, some meal, some something, we ought to fast and take that time and say, "God, when I teach them youngins on Sunday, God help me lead them right. God show me so I can show them. Oh, yes, the purpose of it. I thought about Nehemiah. Nehemiah hears about the affliction of his people in chapter number 1, and he fasts and prays before the God of heaven. In our text tonight in Isaiah 58, I'll show you 9 things quickly. I'm not going to bog in on them about the purpose of it. Number 1, fasting to get freedom from addiction. Verse number 6, he says to loose the bands. Things you'd like to lay down that you've been unable to lay down. You know what you ought to do? You ought to fast from them. Went over like a lead balloon. If you struggle with a nicotine addiction, what you ought to do? You ought to fast from it. And whenever that struggle comes, you pray and beg God to help you with that. I'm just going to hit this while we're here, and feathers is already ruffled. Be careful criticizing somebody from nicotine when you can't lay a fork down. Everybody all right there? I'm just being honest with you. We want to pick everything else out. You want to say, well, that's the temple of God. That's exactly right. How are you taking care of it? What are you doing to your temple? How are you? Let's just go ahead and plow. How are you maintaining your temple? Todd McKeon used to be a whole lot larger guy than he is right now. You that knows Brother Todd knows that Brother Todd lost a ton of weight. And I'll never forget when he was going through that, losing that weight. Here's what he said. I asked him, I said, why are you doing that? He said, because God told me to. He said, this is the only body that I'll ever get to serve God with. I'll never get another one. And I better take care of it to make the best of it that I can. So we fast from that addiction. And whenever we are drawn to that, to loose the bands. I'm preaching good tonight. Watch this. Not only finding or fasting to get freedom from addiction, fasting to solve problems. Verse number 6, undo heavy burdens when it seems hopeless and there's no way out. You know, sometimes people come to me and they talk to me about their problems, and here's one of the things that I've started asking. How many days have you fasted and prayed about this for God to fix it? Parents come to you sometimes and they say, boy, my child's here, my child's there. Well, can I ask you a question tonight? How much have you fasted and prayed this kind? We want to see God undo heavy burdens. He says that we fast for that. Number 3, fasting for revival and soul winning. What did he say in verse number 6? To let the oppressed go free. You know what we ought to do before Sunday or before Saturday? Wonder what would happen before Saturday if maybe we decided, you know what, I'm going to turn social media off between now and Saturday. And the time that I was going to look on that, I'm going to pray and ask God to help us soul winning on Saturday. What if we said, you know what, I think this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to fast from my chocolate candy bar every day. It starts somewhere. Are you with me tonight? What about this? Fasting to conquer mental and emotional problems. Verse number 6, he says to break every yoke. I've never seen so many people that is stressed out today, that's riding an emotional roller coaster today, that's happy one day and down the next day. What about fasting to break every yoke? What about this? Number 5, fasting to meet the physical needs of others. He says in verse number 7 of our text, that word deal, it means to share. To share. What about this? Fasting for clearer insight in decision making. He said in verse number 8, that the light break forth. This is when we're seeking God's will in a major area of our life. You're at a fork in the road and don't know which way to go. A job offer. Listen to this, teenagers, dating. Besides getting saved, who you choose for your spouse is the most important decision that you'll make in your life. It's the most important decision that you'll make. You better fast and pray. What about this? Ministry, college, a career? Besides your besides salvation, your companion. You know what the next most important? Your career. I'm going to deal with that some at that youth meeting in Freedom. But think about this. Number 7, fasting for health reasons and healing. It said in verse number 8, thy health shall spring forth speedily. Number 8, fasting for a more righteous life and influential testimony. The righteous shall go before thee. In verse number 8, fasting for the glory of the Lord. What did he say? He said there was a reward in verse number 8. So there's the definition, there's the purpose, and then number 3, and I'm done. There's the benefits of fasting. What is the benefits of fasting? Well, I would say this to you, it's more time to pray. Because that's, if all you're doing is missing a meal, you're missing it. It's not just missing a meal. It's not just not looking on social media. It's not just missing, it's prayer. They go hand in hand together. They go hand in hand together. It's to have more time to pray. Fasting makes our heart more attentive to God. More attentive to God. If you'll take time, if you'll take the time you would have done the things you're fasting from and spend it with God, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed how your heart becomes more attentive to God. Fasting demonstrates to God our seriousness. And I'll just say our seriousness. Our seriousness. You go to missing meals. Now I understand we can fast from other things. But when you go to getting serious, you'll go to dropping meals. When you go to fasting from meals, you know what God's saying? God's saying, here's somebody that's really interested in me moving in their life. Here's somebody that's really interested. I'll tell you the benefits of fasting. Here's the benefit of fasting. I'll give you this and I'll be done. This kind. So, preacher, what kind are you talking about? The only kind that comes by prayer and fasting. The faith of a grain of a mustard seed. He said, the only way you're going to have that is by prayer and fasting. I'm going to ask you a question, not Miss Tanya's coming to start playing softly. I'm going to ask you two questions. Number one, how's your prayer life? Number two, how's your fasting life? How's your fasting life? You know, me and Brother Jonathan Bass has been talking a lot here lately. Been talking a lot, and I'm excited about Brother Jonathan coming back to the church, and I know that the Lord's going to use him here at our church to help us with some things. There's no doubt about that. And I was thinking about what all God has been doing at Amazing Grace. I really was. I Brother David Williams, y'all all know me and Brother David's very close. And I shared some things with Brother David the other day. And he's helped me put together some things that I'm going to be presenting to the church here in the next few weeks. Some goals, some burdens, some vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We was talking about that. The other day, me and Brother Josh met and eat lunch together. And you know where two Baptist preachers are going to meet and eat lunch? At Chick-fil-A. We met and was eating lunch, and Brother Josh asked me something that I was talking to Miss Leslie, and I said, I don't think in 18 years of pastoring I've ever had somebody ask me this before they joined the church. He said, what's your vision for the church? Where do you see the church at down the road? And you know what? That didn't bother me a bit. And I hope that he seen that it wasn't something I had to sit there and think about. Man, I come right back with it because I got a vision for the church. Matter of fact, Leslie and I was talking last night about things here at the church and the way things here are going. I done devotions this morning at the sheriff's office, and I done them on the grace of God. And, man, I'm going to tell you, it got thick in the sheriff's office this morning. You know it's getting good when a bunch of men sitting around with tears in their eyes talking about the grace of God. I was talking about our church and what God's doing in our church, and the people we saw saved, had one saved on Sunday in youth church, and then, man, I was able to lead this into the Lord on yesterday, and one saved at the cabin last week, and young people testifying that I never would have dreamed that I heard would have heard testify. And I'm not putting nobody on no pedestal. I'm not trying to embarrass nobody or nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. First time Carter ever came to church, he didn't even have to talk to me. He prayed the opening prayer at church tonight. He said, "Preacher, man, I'm amazed at what the Lord's doing. But I wonder what he'd do if just a few of us." I'm not necessarily saying everybody. But if a few of us got real serious about this praying and fasting, I wonder what God would do. I just wonder what he would do. Be amazing. Say, "Preacher, it is amazing." But are we going to be satisfied with that? That me and Brother Mark was talking. It may have been this morning. I guess it was this morning. And we was talking about being satisfied. And he said, whenever you become satisfied in business or in anything else, you start going backwards. If you're not constantly got a vision and forward thinking, you know what you're doing? You're going backwards. You say, "Preacher, what does the future?" I'll share some of my burden with you in a few weeks. But can I say this? As good as it is, I wonder what would happen if we got real serious about fasting and praying. I wonder if some got a fasting partner in the church. Said, "Hey, why don't you join me, and on Tuesdays, we're going to fast from breakfast and pray for our church. On Wednesdays, we're going to fast from lunch. Or on Fridays, we're going to do this or we're going to do that." Now, I hope you don't get mad at what I'm fixing to say. Don't everybody come ask me to be your fasting partner. I mean, I've already went down one suit size. No need to go down another one, I don't think, all right? I want to be everybody's, but understand there's one of me and 200 of y'all. I want to encourage you tonight, find a fasting partner. It may be your spouse. It may be your spouse. And together, you fast at a certain time. And in that fast, start praying for something specific. Remember, Brother Justin's been talking about this. And matter of fact, he was the one that sprung my mind back into action and studying fasting again. And we've been talking about praying specifically. Whenever you pray, just don't say, "Oh God, save some souls down at the church." Say, "God, between now and the end of the year, would you save 5 people at our church?" And can I say something? When he saves the 5, don't quit praying. Start praying for 5 more. The beginning of this year, I had a few specific prayers. I'm not going to tell them to you, but I had a few. And one of them was something that was very dear to my heart. And I prayed, and I gave God a number. I wasn't bargaining with God, but I asked him. I give him a specific number. And I said, "God, if it would be your will, would you let this happen this many times? God, I sure would love to see it." And I prayed that. And can I tell you something? He is more than doubled. He's more than doubled that number. Let me tell you the reason why. Because I got serious with him. And I prayed about it. And I didn't pray some foolish prayer. Are you with me? "Oh God, help me get a $10,000 year raise this year." And pray according to Scripture. Pray according to Scripture. Pray for those that is in bondage. God, would you save them? God, would you reach further down than they could reach up? Pray for those that's in trouble spiritually. God, wake them up. God, shake their soul. God, get their attention.